James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Well, good morning. My name's Ian, and it's a pleasure to be looking at God's Word with you today. And today is the last in our series of messages rooted in the Word. That's God's Word. And of course, the whole point of the Bible is that God is trying to speak to every one of us through it. And the title of this last talk in our series is Listening and Doing. And we're going to look at a bit from one of my favourite books in the Bible, which is the book of James. It's brilliant. Here's a couple of reasons why I think the book of James is so special. First of all, most likely it was written by James, who was a brother of Jesus, and James was an early Christian leader. And here's the second reason. The book of James is full of wisdom. There's more of Jesus' teaching in this book of the Bible than any other book of the Bible outside the Gospels. It's absolutely packed with the things that Jesus said and James's reflection on how we can live those words. So let's pray before we go any further. Father God, we really need you to open our eyes to see, to unblock our ears to listen, and to free up our hands to do. So God, please help us to concentrate and give us wisdom as we learn together. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at listening and doing, and this is right through the heart of what James is saying. And you can see three times James talks about listening, and that's how he kicks off this section that we've just read. Listen, listen, listen. But then we see the word do, and we see that it flows from listening through to doing. So you see, the first half is about how we speak less and listen more, and the second half is about what we do. And the whole section is about listening and doing. So we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about listening, and then spend a bit of time thinking about doing. Let's look at listening first. Why should we listen? It's sometimes said that we've been given two ears and one mouth, so we should listen more than we speak. I don't find that terribly helpful, actually. Apparently, the average adult human has 1,000 eyebrow hairs and one mouth. What does that tell you? It tells you nothing. We'd be far better going back and looking at the book of Proverbs, which is where James draws a lot of his inspiration from, actually. So Proverbs says this: to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 3. And that's 3,000 years old, full of wisdom, totally relevant today. To answer before you listen is folly and shame. If you want to get on well in your relationships, then learning to listen is absolutely crucial. If you want to be a good influence in your workplace and useful there, learning to listen, to really listen to what people are saying, is absolutely crucial. If you want a sense of peace in your family, then learning to listen is absolutely crucial. Now, let me give you a really powerful example of how this can work. Because James's point, what he actually says in the verses that we've read, what he literally says is, in verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. If you want God to break into your situation, if you want a bit of God's peace and life in your world, and you think you can get there by being angry and just spouting off words, you don't understand how it works. Listening is absolutely crucial. And the example I want to give you is about when Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa. Let me just unpack a little bit of what happened when they wanted to move to a free, democratically elected government in South Africa, moving away from the power which was just held by a small group of white politicians. And there was a process they got involved with, which was to try and say, how on earth are we going to transition into a democratic country and not have a revolution, which is what many feared and many expected. And there's a great book. It's called Solving Tough Problems by a writer called Adam Kahane. And he was part of a team that went to try and help this process. And he writes this. A popular joke at the time said that, faced with the country's daunting challenges, South Africans have two options. A practical option and a miraculous option. The practical option was that we would all get down on our knees and pray for a band of angels to come from heaven and fix things for us. The miraculous option was that we would talk to each other until we found a way forward. And so what they did was that they brought together people of all different kinds, trade union leaders, revolutionary communists, the government people, people in the police force, and they said, we want you to talk and listen to one another, but you have to really listen. You have to be willing to see things that you've not seen before. You have to be willing to think about what will work for the other person. And it was an incredibly powerful and transformative process that took place. And in fact, one of the people who writes an endorsement for that book is Nelson Mandela, because it was so powerful what happened there. And another guy who writes in the foreword writes this. This is really interesting. Our typical patterns of history in difficult situations are tactical, not relational. We listen to what we expect to hear. We sift through others' views for what we can use to make our own points. We measure success about how effective we've been in gaining advantage for our own position. It's rare for people with something at stake truly to open their minds to discuss the limitations of their own ways of seeing and acting. Opening our minds ultimately means opening our hearts. So listening is incredibly powerful, powerful enough to change a nation. And James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And anyone who knows me will know that that is incredibly ironic coming from me, because my confession is this: I am a wordaholic. And that's not news to some of you. I'm a wordaholic. But just in case you too have a problem listening, I thought I'd share with you some of the things I'm trying to learn. So this is my list of things I'm trying to learn. Here we are. Number one, don't make that face when people are talking to me. I often make that face when I'm thinking of what to say next, or if I don't like what other people are saying, and I go, and apparently it's off-putting. This is what I've learned. Number two, don't interrupt people, or if you're me, apologise and ask them to finish what they're saying. Do you interrupt people? Leave spaces for people to process what they're thinking. Number three, ask questions. There's a mode of thinking which is called appreciative inquiry. And what that means is that you'll learn more if you're intrigued and interested and ask questions than if you just assume that you have the right answers and try and convince everybody else of your point of view. Ask questions. And number four, check that you're really understanding what people are saying. And be selective in what you reply. These are the things I'm trying to learn. And some of you will be like me and you need to learn these kinds of things. Others, you're probably expert listeners and you're like, Ian, this is baby stuff. We're experts. I think that what none of us expected to hear today was how important listening is to God. Look at verse 26 that we read together. Those who consider themselves religious, and I guess that's us because we're here, we're gathered together looking at the Bible, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Or as Jesus would say, people will have to give an account of every careless word they've spoken. How we talk and how we listen matters to God. I wonder if you know how powerful it is to listen. There's one more thing about listening, which I think is a really beautiful thing, which is this. There's something about becoming a Christian, which is a listening thing. Look at that verse 21 that we read. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word. That's a kind of listening thing. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And what James is saying, and this may be a question for you if you're thinking, how do you become a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Am I supposed to say something to God? Am I supposed to argue that I've got a place, that I deserve to be a Christian? I've got to make my case? No, not at all. Have I got to get the words right? No, that's not how it works. Becoming a Christian is about receiving a word. God speaks a word of forgiveness, a word of new life. And to be a Christian is to receive a word. It's like the best sort of listening. That's how C.S. Lewis became a Christian. He said, "You must picture me alone in my room in Magdalen College, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I feared greatly had at last come upon me." In the Trinity term of 1929, that's the summer term I find out, I gave in and admitted that God was God. I gave in. He didn't say something. I let God say something to me, that God is God. And that's what it means to be a Christian. So to be a Christian is a profoundly listening act. It's about opening yourself up to God's word. He plants his word in you. And then his word comes to life in you. That's what it means to be a Christian. So listening is absolutely crucial in human relationships. But also with God. The difference being, of course, is that when you listen to another human being, it's one thing. But when you listen to God properly, it always turns into doing. When you listen to other people, it's just a vital social skill. But when you listen to God, it always turns into doing. And so this passage flows from listening to doing. So we're going to look at the second theme, which is doing. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And we've already said that here we are in church, being religious or trying to be religious or finding out what religious people do. And you may think, what are people like about church? So someone may say, I like the teaching, I like to think. And some people may say, I like the worship. And someone may say, well, I like the people. Do you know what God likes about church? God likes the doing. God likes the doing. It's not that those other things aren't important, but without actually putting into practice what God has said, there doesn't seem any point at all. That's what Jesus said. He said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? What's the point of that? He didn't actually say that last bit, but that's what he meant. Luke chapter 6, if you want to check out what he really did say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? And then Jesus tells a story about someone who hears the word and doesn't put it into practice, compared to someone who hears the word and does put it into practice. And that's what James does here. Because, as we said, James is full of the teaching of Jesus. And so James tells us a story in the bit we've read. But before we get into that story, I just want to give you a mental picture about what James is driving at here. Imagine the O2 Arena. Used to be the Millennium Dome. Why do people go to the O2 Arena? I presume it's to go to concerts and go to sporting events, and they go and they see something fantastic, interesting, they gather there with a big crowd of people who are probably like them and into that kind of thing, and then they disperse. Compare that, say, with our church here. And we have a number of useful rooms, and people from the church and from outside the church come together and use these spaces that we have for all sorts of things. Why do people come? Weddings, conferences, school off-site learning, arts groups, theatre, music, table tennis, keep fit, special needs groups, bereavement, stroke club, we have a cafe. The list is almost endless. Why do these people come to these groups? It's because they want to meet other people with similar interests, to help and encourage each other, getting on with life. And so here's my question, which should our churches be like? Should it be like a concert where you turn up in a big crowd and see something amazing and then go away? Or should it be a group of people gathering together because they want to do this in practice? And they're coming to encourage one another in the doing of it, you see? Wouldn't James say that our churches should be closer to the activity groups that meet together and help each other rather than the O2 Arena? Don't just listen and gather together and hear stuff. Go out and do what it says. So, how do we do that? And this is the last thing I want to do if we look at this last bit. And James gives us two ways we can do it. He's a very practical writer, is James. And he's going to make this very straightforward for us. James says, and Sally mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, James says that when you're looking at God's word, it's like looking in the mirror. And if you just glance at it, you're not going to learn anything about yourself. Those who listen to the word but don't do what it says are like people who look at their faces in the mirror and then immediately forget what they look like. But the second part, those who look intently, do you see the difference? Not just glance in the mirror and then look away and forget what they look like, but stand in front of it and look intently into the mirror, those people begin to see who they really are. I'm a child of God the Father. I'm the first fruit of God's new creation. Those kind of things. And what James is saying towards the end of our passage together this morning is that God's word tells us who we really are. But we need to look intently at it if we want the word to make a difference. So let me ask you, what's your plan? Well, to take a practical example, what's your plan for using mirrors this week? Do you plan to use the mirror a lot? I mean, if you like to present yourself well, you might want to check your mirror at least once a day. A bit of advice there. James says God's word is like a mirror. What's your strategy going to be this week for looking intently into God's word? Are you going to read it today and then not come across it for another 7 days? Is that your strategy? James would say to us, guys, this is God's mirror. This is God's way of telling us who we really are. And what I want you to do is to look intently into it. So if James was here, he would say to us now, every morning, make some time to let God show you who you really are. Make some time to get into God's word. Remember something that James has written, for example. And in the week, get together with a group of people so you can talk about how God's word can make us into the people we're supposed to be. And we can challenge one another. We can encourage one another. Have you got a strategy for looking intently into God's word this week? And one final thing. Live it out practically. Listen to how James finishes the passage that we read. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In other words, true religion makes a difference. If you're really going to listen, it's going to make a difference to what you do. And there's my challenge to all of us. And I think what James is challenging us is this: how are we going to look intently into God's word so that it might be the perfect law that gives freedom? And where's that going to lead us this week? To really root ourselves and place our identity and our plans and our actions right in the middle of God's word. Let's just pray together as we finish. Father God, help us to listen to one another. Help us to listen to your word so that we can do what it says and know the freedom that comes from knowing you. Would you set us free to be the people that you've made us to be? And God, this week we long to look intently into your word. Show us how to do that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.